I wanted to read something to you that I thought was really good. I got this the other night when I went to the Eagle's Nest, which is a pastor's get-together that we do once a month, and it was in Yakima. But I thought this was so good. It's called Parable of the Fishless Fishermen. Now it came to pass that a group existed who called themselves fishermen. And lo, there were many fish in the waters all around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish. And the fish were hungry. Year after year, these who called themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish, the abundance of fish and how they might go about fishing. Continually, they searched for new and better definitions of fishing. They sponsored costly nationwide and worldwide congresses to discuss fishing and to promote fishing and to hear about all the ways of fishing. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings called fishing headquarters. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman and every fisherman should fish. One thing they didn't do, however, they didn't fish. They organized a board to send out fishermen to where there were many fish. The board was formed by those who had the great vision and courage to speak about fishing, to define fishing, and to promote the idea of fishing in faraway streams and lakes, where many other fish of different colors lived. Also, the board hired staffs and appointed committees and held many meetings to define fishing, to defend fishing, and to decide what new streams should be thought about. But the staff and committee members did not fish. Expensive training centers were built to teach fishermen how to fish. Those who taught had doctorates in fishology. But the teachers did not fish. They only taught fishing. Year after year, graduates were sent to do full-time fishing, some to distant waters filled with fish. Immediately, they established training to teach those in the region how to fish. But they never did any fishing. Further, the fishermen built large printing houses to publish fishing guides. A speakers bureau was also provided to schedule special speakers on the subject of fishing. But like the fishermen back home, they never fished. After one stirring meeting on the necessity for fishing, a young fellow left the meeting and went fishing. The next day, he reported he had caught two outstanding fish. He was honored for his excellent catch and scheduled to visit all the big meetings possible to tell how he did it. So he quit his fishing in order to have time to tell about the experience to other fishermen. He was also placed on the fishermen's general board as a person having considerable experience. Soon he began to feel restless and empty. He longed to feel the tug on the line once again. He cut the speaking, resigned from the board, and said to a friend, "Let's go fishing." They did, just the two of them, and they caught fish. The members of the fishermen's fellowship were many. The fish were plentiful, but the fishers were few. Question, when was the last time you and I did some serious fishing for men? That really lays it out, doesn't it? That is such a reality today, folks. Amen. We're not to sit around and just talk about Christianity, talk about what we're called to do. We're to get out there and do it. And you find such delight, don't we? We find such joy in doing what we're called to do. Because so often organizations, and I'm not against organizations, but they become bureaucracies. They get bogged down and all this stuff and the red tape and, you know, we lose sight. It becomes an organization rather than a living, moving organism. The church is supposed to be fluid. Amen. It is supposed to flow with God's grace, with His Spirit. So often we really end up inside the Christian box, you know. And even, folks, and I'm not against denominationalism, well, I am in a sense, but let me just say it this way. So often, even within a denomination, it becomes about that organization. And they put the bubble, they put the boundaries around that organization, and they keep it within those boundaries of that organization. And when we talk about kingdom, we're really talking about the organization. And yet, there is no such thing other than the kingdom of heaven, amen, that really exists. And that we need to be careful that we don't ever get caught up into that bubble, that Christian bubble, even to even having our experience reduced to the times that we get together here. Amen. And do our thing. Because I love coming together with you, and we're supposed to. Isn't that right? The Bible says we're supposed to come together, and we need to have fellowship, and we need to instruct, and we need to teach, right, about fishing. But for the purpose that we would go and we would fish, that we would go, amen, and preach the gospel. Jesus said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So that's what it really is. A few weeks ago, I preached a message called Keeping the Main Thing the Main Thing. And we should never forget what the main thing is, and that is the harvest. And there are fish that are out there. They're hungry. And so what we need to do is we need to discover what we can put on the hook. What kind of bait would be attractive? I want you to hear this. Because we can get caught up in, well, we've been using worms for this amount of time, and the fish were biting really good on the worms. How many have ever been fishing, right? Yeah. And so the next time you go down to the lake, you say, well, I'm going to put a worm on just like I did last time, and well, they're not biting. Come on, we need some power bait, right? Yes. Holy Ghost power bait, he's the one that gives it to us. He's the one that shows us what we need to do. Amen. And the bottom line in this, folks, is that we don't go out beating people over the head, amen, and talking about how sinful they are, because most people already know that. They don't know what to do about it. But what we need to do is we need to declare to them our testimony. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the word of your testimony is the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of Jesus, amen. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that word that you speak into someone's life about how God has touched you, how God has saved you, is powerful. It can affect change in other people's understanding and life, and it puts it into perspective for them to see. The question is, are people able to read us, you know? Because sometimes we get so caught up in the church bubble, you know, in just this place that we do our thing. We've got all the church jargon down just right. You know, we can do our services just right. And we can lose that connection with people who are outside. To where some people, they don't even know how to talk to non-Christians anymore because their entire life revolves around Christians. And quite frankly, it's more comfortable for us to be around Christians because, amen, we're family. And certainly there's going to be, for the most part, agreement among us. But when you start to speak, amen, you begin to cast, if you will, your net out there, then there's going to be all kinds of fish. There's going to be good and bad. And so we have to be very careful that we don't allow the devil to shut us down because we've had a bad experience with someone who didn't believe. Or someone who didn't want our Jesus. How many know, folks, it's not you that they hate? It's Jesus that they hate. But we are representing Jesus. And because of that, they'll hate you too, yes. But there are people out there, just like you and I, who are ripe, who are ready, who are wanting something. Want something authentic, something real, something that can change your life. Amen? And so we got to continue to fish. When I go fishing, you know, I do a lot of casting. And I try different baits. I find out what works. Now we know that the truth does not change. Amen? We don't water down the truth. Because that will never help anybody. But the method by which we fish changes depending on where you're at geographically, possibly. What culture you're in. If you're dealing with farmers, well, a farmer went out to sow. Depends on who you're talking to. Jesus was able to find common ground with people around him. He met them where they're at in their world. He wasn't like the religious people. And sometimes, you know, the Christians can become religious people. The religious people wouldn't have anything to do with them. And the people didn't feel like they could even approach them because they were too high and holy. And religious people are people sometimes who are genuinely born again Christians who had forgotten that once they were there. That's why we should not forget the hole from which we were dug. Amen?
Amen.
And the pit that God brought us out of. Keep that testimony fresh. Keep it before your eyes. Remember, it was only by the mercy of God. It's only by the mercy of God that we're saved. There are some people that are trying to earn salvation and they're going to be lost. But it's by the mercy of God that we're saved. Now, there's a Chinese proverb that says this. Dig the well before you are thirsty. You know, sometimes we do get that in reverse order. Where we wait until we're in desperation. Or we wait till we're starving. And then we go to eat. Now, if everybody just lives, you know, in this place of instant gratification, you know, instant satisfaction, you may be fulfilled on in the short term, but you could be compromising something of greater value in the long term. And you've heard me say it before, you know as well as I do, we live in a microwave society where everything has to be instant and right now. And we don't know what it is to make plans. We don't know what it is to look ahead and think about the future. Often it's just about what's in front of my nose. It's a hand-to-mouth mentality sometimes we have, even in the church, folks. Now, we know that God will feed us when we're hungry. But often God packs your lunch before you go on the journey. And there are times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. There are times when we're here that God is pouring out just special grace upon us. It's always special. But, you know, there's those times when it's just like he's really lavishing something. Folks, don't be one of those who just observe that. When God is pouring out his grace, when the Spirit of God is moving, pay attention to that. Get into that. Get into what God is doing. Seek him in that time. Amen. Seek for him. Because God is wanting to do something in your life that will equip you for what's coming. So often we're just thinking about the right now. Or right now I'm doing okay. But when you notice, when you sense the Spirit of God moving in your life, pay attention. You know what I'm saying? When you get that quickening, when you get that prompting to pray, or you get that prompting to call someone, or, you know, or to speak into someone's life, or whatever it might be, pay attention. God wants to impart something. God wants to do something in you. And you know, it's possible to be sitting at a banquet and completely miss it. Everybody around you can be eating. They can be dining. They can be enjoying the banquet, but you can sit there and miss it. You can allow distractions around you to keep you from eating when God has placed something beautiful before you. And the purpose for that is that you might receive nourishment. You might receive strength. You might receive his grace to prepare you for what is coming. You and I need to be involved daily in building ourselves spiritually. Not waiting until we get to church. You need to be building yourself. Amen. Listening to the messages. Listening to CDs. Watching. Well, be careful what you watch on Christian television. Get into the Word of God. Pray. Build yourself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Him. When you praise Him, it will bring the atmosphere of heaven into your heart. Amen. And when it's in your heart, it will be in your atmosphere around you, too. It'll be in your world. You and I have the ability to change the atmosphere around us. So often Christians are running from the devil when he should be running from you. He'll run from you if you really start to praise God. Yeah. The devil doesn't like praise. So he's going to try to get you not to praise God. He's going to try to distract you in your mind and get you preoccupied with everything that's going around you so that you're not connecting in the time of the refreshing that God is sending, in the time of his visitation. That's the time. Do you know Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him? How many have discovered that? Amen? It's when God is drawing you. Pay attention to those times. So you need to first dig the well before you're thirsty. Now, I've gone through this, but I believe the Lord has directed me back to this before. And I just want to talk about it a little more in depth and maybe look at it from a little different perspective. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Cast your bread upon the water. Now, the thought here is this widespread distribution of what is good. And whenever you go out and you sow abundantly, or you give abundantly, or you bless abundantly, or you love abundantly, then that's what you receive in time, in God's season. And so the generous soul will prosper, but the stingy person will not. And when we're sowing, we're talking about sowing in the Holy Spirit, it's the same thing. How many know that as Christians, we can be stingy too? Yeah, we can be stingy in our service to the Lord. We can give God our leftovers, you know. We can give God our spare change. We can give God our spare time. But God is a generous God. He's a benevolent Father. And His children are also to be benevolent. We are to be generous. And the generous soul shall be made fat. God wants you to prosper in every way. He wants you to prosper even as your soul prospers. But the way to prosper is we see in nature itself that there has to be some work. There has to be some digging. Amen? There has to be breaking up of the fallow ground. There has to be a time of plowing. And the plowing needs to be done in the right season. There needs to be the planting of the seed, amen, the word of God. And it has to be in the right season. Along with the word is the water, amen, the spirit of God. The combination of the spirit and the word working together. And then there's a season, amen, where we don't see much happening. And yet we may have sown much, but we don't see much happening. And sometimes we can get impatient in the process. Now, last Wednesday I talked about events versus process. Often we are event people. You know, we go to these events. We go to church. We go to revival. We go to this thing and that thing as an event. And then the event is over. But God is the God of process. Everything is a process, and He brings us through. And in that process, again, there are going to be times when nothing seems to be growing in your life. Okay. Now some of you are connecting, right? There's times when nothing seems to be happening. It seems there's times even, anybody ever been in a dry time in their life? You've done all the right things. You're trying to stay in the Word. You're trying to pray. You're trying to go to church. You're just trying. And yet there doesn't seem to be much happening. And you seem to be in a place of dryness in your soul. And I mentioned Wednesday about a tree, that a tree does not force fruit. A tree abides in the right location, in the right conditions. Amen? And it just exists, and because it's an apple tree, it has apples in its season. The key is not to try to root up the tree and move it over here before it's time, right? If God's going to do that, let Him do that, but don't do that to yourself. So we bear fruit because we abide in the vine, Jesus Christ. When we abide in Him, amen? Throughout every season, we continue to abide. We continue to be faithful because he doesn't change. He's faithful. And what do we live on? We live on the fact that God is a promise keeper. And whatever he promises, he will do. If he tells me that he's never going to leave me or forsake me, hallelujah, it doesn't matter how I feel today, God is with me. Why? Because he promised. Faith is believing even though you don't see it, even though you don't feel it. I believe it. And the good feelings tend to follow faith. But many times we're operating just on the feeling. If I feel like it, I do it. And if I don't feel like it, I don't do it. How many know if a farmer just lived by his feelings, we would starve? And some of us are starving because we're just living by our feelings. Sometimes people are starving and don't realize they're starving. Yeah. We've talked about filler food, right? You can't live on Hostess Twinkies, right? And cupcakes. It may give you temporary satisfaction. You may feel good for a little while. But your body is craving something that's going to bring nutrition. The right stuff. Amen? So the key to abundant life that Jesus promised is to abide in him. Abiding in him simply means that we live in him, we walk in him, we move in him. We take our directions from him. We obey his voice. Amen? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. We listen for his voice. And God's telling his church to go fishing. He's saying, keep on casting your bread upon the water. Amen? Keep on throwing out the net. Well, you brought it back. Well, nothing happened. Throw it out again. Throw it on the other side. Yeah. Well, that bait didn't work. Well, maybe we need to change methods of how we're doing it. Folks, I don't know about you, but we are looking for ways. We are looking for ways, right, to win people. And we're talking about not just having people show up at church. We're talking about to win them to Christ in such a radical way that their lives are changed. Yes. Because there are churches that are winning people to an organization or to an event that they do, but not ever stepping into that place where they come to a relationship with Jesus Christ that transforms their heart. And when the heart changes, guess what? Everything else begins to come into line. Sometimes people are just trying to patch up the old, you know. Without a changed heart, it's all in vain. It only lasts for so long. You can only do it so long by your own willpower. It's the Lord who does the work. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Whatever you sow, whatever you give, whatever you do in obedience to God, when you obey him and you do what he tells you to do, you don't lose it. You may not see it right away, and some things you're not even going to see in your lifetime. We find that in Hebrews 11. Many did not see the promises fulfilled in their lifetime. However, God is a promise keeper. And the fruit followed after him. How many know Abraham's still getting blessed today because of us? Yeah. What we need to do is we need to be obedient to our present duties right now and leave the future results to God. Because we certainly need patience in the process. If we're not patient in the process, then we're going to try to force fruit. We're going to try to force things to happen. And every time we try to make something happen that God says he will do and he will make happen, then we get off into the flesh. Amen. We end up with an Esau. We get impatient sometimes when God is saying, wait, wait, wait. Everything in its season. Everything in its time. He makes all things beautiful, what? In his time. So it's about being faithful, being consistent, continuing to cast your bread upon the water. Amen? What is your bread? It's that which you have in your hand. It's that which God has entrusted to you. It's that treasure that God has given you. It's your spiritual money in a sense. What is it that you have in your hand? What has God gifted you, graced you to do? What has He given you a stewardship over in your life? Be faithful in that little thing that it is. And God will, in His time, He will bring in a harvest. There are many people who have been faithful to share with others, amen, to give, to love, to bless. And often they're saying, well, God, when is my blessing coming back? You know what? If God never does another thing for us, He's already done enough for us at the cross. Amen. But because God is good, He will honor those who honor Him and those who trust Him. Amen. He will bless. And God wants His people to be blessed for the purpose of being a blessing. Not so we can hoard the blessing. Now we know there's two primary ways of sowing. And that is one is to the flesh, the sin nature, or sowing to the Spirit of God. And that's in Galatians 6 and verse 8. It says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, Holy Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now in verse 9, we all know that God says, let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season, you will reap. If you don't give up, if you don't lose heart. Sometimes folks will tell you, you know, you can look and say, well, I don't know how much time I got left. You know, and still, even in that, we have to be careful that we don't get in a hurry and we don't get ahead of God. God knows the number of our days. There are people who live to 100 years old or plus who never thought they would live that long. There are many, many people, I don't know how many in their over 100, but I know there's a lot of men out there and women of God in their 90s that are still preaching the gospel of Jesus, amen, with the fire of God on them. And they probably never thought they would live that long. But how many know it's so important to wait on God for His timing and everything? What do we need to do? Keep on digging, keep on sowing, keep on watering. Amen. And in due season, you will start reaping. And even as you're reaping or receiving the blessings of God back in your life, keep on sowing. In other words, we're not never to be just this thing that receives. Amen. Like a stagnant pool that just the water comes in, but it doesn't flow out. And I find that in my own life, as long as I'm receiving and giving, you have to learn how to receive, too. Unfortunately, some people, all they know how to do is receive. Or sometimes just give, but you're not receiving either. So we have to be giving and receiving. As you're giving and receiving, you'll be like a well-watered garden. Amen. You'll bear fruit. The river of God's presence will flow in and out of you. Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. That word also means boldness, which has great reward. We can get discouraged. We can get discouraged in the process. If we just look at what is visible around us, we can get discouraged. If we look at our present circumstances, we can get discouraged. If we look at our government, if we look even at our town, and we look at the devastation because of sin, it can be discouraging. But we are not to live by sight. We need to believe in our God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think according to His mighty power. So don't look at the way things appear. Understand that God is able to turn any situation around. God is able to make all grace abound to you and to me. That we can have a sufficiency for all things, amen? So that we can be the blessing. God wants us to be a blessing. So keep on sowing, keep on giving, keep on loving, keep on serving, keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Because as you do, there's something that's taking place in the invisible realm that we don't see. Kind words, blessing people, amen. Even just a kind word to somebody is sowing in the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a great day. We are what we eat. And you know, if we're thinking on, dwelling on, meditating on negativity, if we're looking around us and just complaining about the problem, complaining about the darkness, are you with me today? Then it seems to magnify the problem. What we need to do is we need to say, you know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Well, there's a threat, I could lose my job. Well, yeah, anybody, who knows? We don't even know if we have another day on the planet. Why are you worrying about all that stuff? Enjoy the life God gave you now. Amen? Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in your God who is your provider. He will make a way where there didn't seem to be any way. Jesus said, don't worry about your life. All right? Don't worry, period. Because when you worry, it's a lack of faith. It's you're putting your faith in a problem or a situation or a potential problem. Isn't it true sometimes we're worried about stuff that could only be a potential problem? It isn't even a problem yet, and we're worried about, well, what about the economy? What about this? What about that? What about your God? Is not your God big enough to take care of you? Remember a little children's song a few years ago? It said, let the size of your God determine the size of your dream. And sometimes I think, and I speak sometimes to myself, sometimes I think I have a dwarfed view. Sometimes we make God too small in our minds, folks. We do. We limit God. That's an easy one. But that one there, ooh, I don't know. That's pretty hard, God. We do that maybe without even realizing it, but we limit God by our unbelief. Let the size of your God determine the size of your dream. My God has limitless possibilities. I mean, He could do anything. With God, all things, Jesus said, are possible. Believe that. Declare that. Decree that. Meditate on that. And my God is able, more than able. Rather than, well, I don't know how we're going to do it. How often have we stressed and worried and fretted and only to find out that God came through, even though we did all that? He still loved you. He still took care of you. But you just beat yourself up for nothing. And you gave the devil an opportunity to laugh at you. They don't really believe. If we live only for immediate results, we will often be disappointed. I've been guilty of this. Have you? Where we've lived just for the immediate gratification, the immediate results. And yet, we didn't have the big picture. God wants to take the blinders off His people. Amen. He wants us to see beyond what is seen in the natural, to see the enormity of God's plan and purpose for your life, which is way beyond anything you could do naturally. God's ways are higher than our ways, and His purpose and His calling on your life is way bigger than you and I and what we're capable of doing naturally. God's call, God's purpose is something that has to be done in the supernatural. Otherwise, it wouldn't be of Him, it would be of you. Now, the world is good at doing good deeds, and good deeds are good. But God's plan, God's purpose is beyond this world. It's bigger than what we can do naturally. The mantle of God, amen, is bigger. It's an oversized garment. So that we would stretch into that rather than limit God and say, well, I can only do this. I can only do, well, yeah, you can only do that. You can only do so much. But with God, we become supernatural people. And we can do much more together with Him than we can do by ourselves. So we need to understand that every time you face something, every time a problem arises in your life, you need to just say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this problem to control me. I'm going to look at Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, here's another problem. What do we do? What do you want us to do? How do you want me to handle this? Rather than getting, oh, what am I going to do? We just get to the place and say, rest in me, he says. Relax. Amen. Because when you're stressed, you're not thinking clearly. When you get into panic mode, you start messing up. Come on. You break out the plastic or whatever you got to do to try to make a quick fix. And you don't wait on God's timing. Everything in its season. You don't have to worry about your problem because God's bigger than your problem. What He wants us to do is trust Him. Whenever you have a new situation, look at it as an opportunity to see God move in your life. Rather than a, you know, oh, what am I going to do? Well, say, okay, here's another opportunity, because each time you have a test, it gives you an opportunity for what? Testimony. You don't have a testimony without a test. So the test is important. You got to have it. God's given us the promise, folks, that if we continue to cast our bread upon the water, that after many days, it will return to you. You'll find it. We know that the harvest is the reward of the faithful gardener. You know, God is a gardener. He is. And so are we. As His people, we are little Jesuses to copy and do what Jesus did. Amen. So we also are farmers or gardeners. God has entrusted to you and I the precious seed of the Word of God. And He's also shown us where the fields are. Amen. And sometimes the fields are very hardened and the ground has to be broken up. Amen. And that's also God's timing. But there's also times when the harvest is ripe. Now, everybody likes to be in a place where it's easy and things are happening. We have been contending for something here in Shelton. Would you agree? There are other places, if we were to do this thing would just be, it would explode with growth because of the situation and the season that location is in right now, that geographic location. But here, we have been called to break up the fallow ground. We are digging wells, amen? We are, through praise and through worship, and through, amen, the intervention of heaven, as we call heaven in, God sends His angels. They begin to set things in order in the heavenlies. And all of a sudden, people, their hearts begin to burn for something, for truth. They begin to long for truth. Their eyes begin to open up and they begin to realize the degradation of living a life independent of God. And how vain and how empty and how unsatisfied they are. That's a work of the Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring a conviction on someone, to make them realize that I am lost and I need God's mercy. To make them realize that I can't do this myself. I need God's help. That's this work of the Spirit. So keep on praying. Keep on calling on God. Keep on calling in the kingdom. Amen. Keep on praising Him. Walk with Him. Keep on loving. Keep on serving. Keep on giving. And as you do that, the time comes when that which you have invested, that which you have sown, that which you have given will return to you. Keep your bread upon the water. And the water could represent humanity, amen, with all its problems, the often turbulence, amen, turbulent waters. But God is the one who will bring the harvest as we are faithful to keep sowing, to keep giving, to keep loving, to keep blessing. When God saves us, He saves us with a purpose. And it's not just to come and do our church thing, but it's so that we will now, in turn, take what we have received and give it away. You cannot give away something that you haven't received. Have you received God's salvation? Then you can give salvation in the sense that you can share what God has done in your life with others. You can impart that bread, that seed of your testimony into others' lives. As we receive, give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Amen. And how many know that doesn't just mean money? He's talking about sow your life. So give away what you receive. As you give, as you bless, as you serve, you are investing in the hearts of others. And in its season. How many here can say, you know what? There was a time when people had sowed seed in my life, and my life continued to go on the way it had been for so long. I can remember people speaking into my life when I was young. And even though I didn't serve God, I didn't live for God, I didn't want anything to do with God, that seed was there. Someone later on came along and watered. Put some water on that seed. And even then, I had moments where there seemed to be a quick sprout. Phew, sprung up. I was all excited, and then just as quickly, it withered because I had no root. But God is a God of times and seasons, and in His season, He had to get me to a place. I want you to hear this, because you and I are likened to that seed. Our lives are a seed. And when Christ does something, when there's an impartation of His life, when God touches you, hallelujah, how many know it just changed you forever? Amen. And even though the life of Christ may be in us, there may not be any manifestation or evidence of that life until something happens, which we don't really like to talk about, but it's a reality. And that is, the seed is broken. We've got to be brought to brokenness. Once that seed, that hardened shell, is broken, then the life that is within the seed will come forth. Yeah. Now, sometimes the brokenness looks differently for each one of us. And sometimes we're more stubborn. You know, others are more stubborn. And so God knows what it takes to get us into the place where He can bless us, because He wants to bless His people. I know people say, oh, it's a bless me club. Yes, it is. My God wants to bless me so I can be a blessing. He wants to bless you because He just loves you. But you got to get into position for that. And unless Jesus said a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. Jesus gave His life. He planted His life in the soil. Amen. He died on our behalf. So what? So He could bring many sons to glory. Many of us could come because of His sacrifice, because He was willing to lay down His life. He invested Himself on behalf of us. That even today, folks, the fruit is still abounding. Amen? People by the thousands all around the earth are coming to Jesus Christ because of the seed that was sown into the earth. That means Jesus died, amen, and rose again. And so there it is. You and I have now been called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him and do the same thing that Jesus did. And as we do that, and as we sow and are faithful to keep sowing, That which you have coming back to you will come in its season. Do not be discouraged. Don't look at the temporary results of things, because that's not how God does it. We live with that mentality, but that's not reality. In fact, in most countries, people understand this because they don't live like we do. They don't live with instant this and instant that. They still go down. Daily bread still means going down to the market, amen, and getting their daily food. Sometimes after they've worked all day, so they have a little money in their hand to go buy some daily food, amen, their daily bread. So they understand processes. Many people that farm understand processes. So you and I too, don't become weary. Don't become discouraged. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't lose your boldness to continue to sow, to continue to bless, to continue to witness, continue to tell people about the good news of Jesus. Amen? Because when you do that, that seed will not return void. That seed will find a place. Whether you see that person, I've known people that have thrown it back in my face, only to find out that later down the road, it was that seed. That was the beginning. How many like me were like at the end where you were just fighting, almost kicking and screaming when you came to Christ? You reached that point in your life. I have discovered often when people are mad, they're spitting, they're at that place where they're ready to snap, they're ready to break, and they're ready to be birthed into the kingdom. So don't let those things discourage you, because God is faithful in someone's life. And he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it.